Psalm 47. Sound on. Psalm 47. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah. O clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as a people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Now this is a psalm that was to be sung. This was for the choir director. This was for the choir of Israel. Imagine the song and the power. Sing praises. Loud. Great. And this is what hopefully we'll get into a little bit tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Holy Father, your name is great. Your name is above all names. And Lord, we look back and we look upon the cross and we see what Jesus, our Savior, has done. And we see the mighty deeds that he has done in his life. And we see his death and resurrection and ascension. We see him pouring out his spirit upon us. He gives us strength. He gives us joy and hope in this world. We go through difficult times. We go through good times. And in all of it, we can give thanks to you. And in all of it, we can have a joy in our hearts, knowing that our hope is with you. You indeed are our song. You are our joy. And to you we give thanks. So help us tonight to consider as one body, help us to consider singing and building up this body with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as your word says. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen. So when Craig asked me first, just let's do one of the one another's on singing or teaching. Ephesians says teaching or speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Verses said, okay, that's, you know, it's in the Bible. Let's do it. And then I started to think about it. And then I'm starting to really dig down deep into the words, into the text, Ephesians, Colossians, see what Paul has to say. And I don't get it. I don't really know what Paul is trying to tell us. How in the world do I teach with a song? How do I speak with a song? Songs are supposed to be sung, right? How am I supposed to teach to one another? Much less, we typically get the idea that whenever we're singing and we're singing psalms and hymns, we're in the context of worship. Yet the context of these two passages almost lend itself to community life. As we come around the table and then we go out into the world, how do we build each other up? How do we encourage one another? And then I, just thinking about it, it was almost as if God showed me, it's really simple. It really is simple. The problem is we just don't know how to do it very well. And that's my problem. I don't know how to build up the body through singing, through teaching, through talking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but in doing so, singing and making melody in my heart, always giving thanks to the Lord. I think what we'll see tonight, it's somewhat easy. It's an easy statement. It's not as difficult as I thought it was going to be, but yet I think it's going to be difficult because we need to reconsider how we do things. Not completely throw out what we've done and bring in something completely new. But let's look at it afresh. Let's look at singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as we gather in worship and also as we live out in the community, how that actually does build up the body. God says it does. So we need to trust him in that and learn how to do that and learn how to do that better. So hopefully as we discuss this, as we look in the scriptures, that's what I want to do. I want us to learn how to build up the body better with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. What we've been going through, Craig's been teaching us on the past few Sundays on how to better pray, how prayer needs to be an integral part of our life, and how praying together, praying for one another, is right and good, and God commands us to do that. It helps us think about one another, and it gets us bowing before God and depending upon him more and believing in him more. And singing does the same thing. In fact, singing is praying sometimes. Think about Psalm 51 and David's contrite psalm that he wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. It's a prayer to God. But above all, what it really does, what these two passages in Ephesians, and I put them on your outline, Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, what they are in the context of is unity. What we have is one body. And Paul is really telling us we are one body. Therefore, act like it. So what I want to do is I want to use Ephesians as our base tonight, looking a little bit at Colossians, but using Ephesians as our base to sort of build up what we're discussing. So look at chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love." So here we have this idea of we need to show forbearance to one another, building up the unity of the body in love. And this is the theme that Paul uses in chapters 4 through 6 in Ephesians. He's laid out the theology in chapters 1 through 3, and now he's using the application in 4 through 6 to bring these Jews and Gentiles together as one body and bringing them out of a dark world and into the light of Christ and sending them out as an army, we see in chapter 6, so that they, as a unified one, can defeat then the darkness. Being diligent, verse 3, to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. This is also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, the expression he ascended, what does it mean except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So our goal is to attain to the unity of the faith. Paul says, you are one body with one Lord and one baptism. This is who the church is. Now we need to progress and we need to mature into that fullness of Christ. We need to press on and be built up so that the unity that's displayed reflects the unity that actually is. We are one body of Christ. Therefore, we need to act like it. Verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so all of these parts come together into one body to be one body, to be united in the love of Christ. So this is the context that Paul is setting up. It's a unified body living together in harmony, living together in the peace of Christ. And then he says, look, this is who you used to be. This is who you used to be, but now you are being made and conformed into the image of God. Therefore, imitate God in chapter 5 as beloved children. Walk this way now. Be the unified church of Christ. You've come out of the world, and the world is separated. When we think about the world, and you think about non-Christians, people who don't believe in Christ, and you think about all of the different philosophies and societies and religions out there, there's no unity. It's like the Tower of Babel all over again. They can never come together and join up together and rise up and build that tower to heaven and rise up against God's people. God has stopped that. But what Paul is saying, what God tells us, is the church is to do that. You are one. We can come together. And through Christ and what he has done as one body, you are being fitted together. And therefore, live that way in love so that the reign of grace can go through and be on earth as it is in heaven. And then in chapter 5, we get to be imitators of God. Don't do these impure and immoral things. Don't be sons of wrath. That's the way you formerly were. And then we get down to verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, or be filled in the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then he moves on to families, marriages and children to parents and parents to children. So this is all the context of unity, one body of Christ. And so Colossians is very similar. If you turn over to Colossians chapter 3, we're not going to build up to the whole thing like we did in Ephesians. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Again, in the first part of 3, he's saying, this is where you were, but you've put on this new man, and this new man is being renewed according to the image of God. There is no longer this distinction between Jew and Greek. We are one body in Christ. In verse 12, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God Father. So again, this is how we should live with one another. We are to put on, sort of dress ourselves with a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. This is us living with one another. We're to be humble. Consider others above you. We're to be kind. We're to be gentle. We're to strive for the unity of the body. And so because we are to strive for the unity of the body, therefore speak to one another teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, so unity is, in some sense, in part, brought about and enhanced as we come around and we build up one another using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, how do we do that? It's easy, right? Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, please. So, what does it really mean to speak and teach to one another? I'm going to sort of lump Ephesians and Colossians together. Instead of going back and forth between speaking and teaching and admonishing, I think those things are building up of one another. Teaching and admonishing, sort of the positive aspect of encouraging one person is teaching. I'm telling you that this is the way things are. I'm teaching you something. Admonishing is after you've done something, that this is what you really need to be doing. So it's sort of two sides to one coin. And speaking to one another, that's just simple speaking. So overall, I'm going to say that it's building up one another through songs, spiritual songs, hymns, and psalms. Okay, so this is building up of one another. Well, if we think about it, and I'm going to step back a little bit and sort of use observation of what we do. We come around the table for worship. That's where we sing and we make joyful noises to the Lord. We come around that table out there, and then we're sent off into the world only to come back again the next week. And that cycle repeats itself. That's the way the Lord has established it. That we start here, we go out, and we come back. And so what we do around the table is paramount to the whole week. It's central to the whole week. So when we request a song, for instance, or a psalm, or a hymn, and really when all the experts, biblical theologians and commentaries, don't really give too much separation between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms typically has some sort of melodic, musical component to it. We know psalms being the 150 in the Old Testament, as well as a few others. Hymns and spiritual songs aren't as talked about in the Bible, but they're all relatively the same. So when we come around the table and somebody requests a song, that song can be used to build up someone else. So it can be an encouragement. Someone may be down and need encouraging. Someone may feel real weak with regards to a certain sin in their life, and they need to see the power of God. They need to hear a mighty fortress. They need to know that God is there to the very end, and that his truth will abide forever, even in the midst of Satan's attacks. So it can be used as an encouragement. It can be used for a reminder to pray. Psalm 51. David comes before the Lord and he says, "Lord, I am a sinner. You don't want burnt offerings and sacrifices. You want a contrite heart. I have sinned. I have sinned against you." And say we sang Psalm 51. I don't think we have a psalm that is like that, but maybe we could sing that. And that would encourage somebody else and say, "Ah, yes, I'm like that too." But at the end of the song, David wants to sing for joy. His sin, he wants to be, that feeling inside of him, he wants it to be turned into joy. And so he prays to God, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." So it's a matter of prayer. We get around the table, we request songs to one another, and it's a matter of prayer. But it's also a matter of praise. We praise God. The Psalms in the Old Testament, you go over and over again, it's praising God. Song of Moses in Exodus 15. It's praising the Lord for the salvation that he brought about to Israel. So it's a praise. But all of that to be said, that when we get around the table and we encourage one another, or we build up the body with these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it's corporate in nature. We are one body, and when we come around the table, we need to recognize that what we request, what we sing, is affecting our brothers and sisters. We are one body. So it is corporate in nature. It talks about the body. What you request as a man, you request a song or one of the songs that we sing, everybody sings, typically. It's corporate. We all join together with one voice to our one Lord. And so that one voice, that one song may be the means, the mechanism that during the week, as we all disperse out, even though we're one body dispersed, only to come back again, that may be the song that gets in somebody's head. And as during the week, we sing it over and over again in our head, because that's the thing that encourages us. That's the thing that builds us up. So that's what I'm talking about. When we think about how do we build up one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, well, it's really quite easy. What goes on at the table, what goes on at our worship on Sunday mornings affects our life throughout the rest of the week. How we sing and what we sing affects our life the rest of the week and affects your brothers and sisters' life the rest of the week. What we hear in the message, when the word of God is brought to us in a sermon, that affects us the rest of the week. It should, anyway. It shouldn't just stop at 12 o'clock. It shouldn't just stop and we don't think about it anymore. We should consider it. Spend time, mental energy going over it and praying over it. It feeds us. It feeds our soul throughout the week as we're reminded, like we have been the past few Sundays, we need to pray. We need to spend time with our God because he's great. And singing is our response to what God says to us. So when we all sing together, we carry that too into the week. So that leads into, so what we do in the corporate speaking to one another, we build up one another. That leads to the centrality of worship. The worship is central to our very life. It extends out. What we think, the theology that's in our mind, how we study the Bible, it doesn't just reside in our mind. It doesn't just reside there. It comes out in the things we say, and it comes out in our fingertips. How we think about God's word comes out in our fingertips, how we live life. And our response to that is both through prayer and sung prayers. And that also comes out in our fingertips. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Chronicles has a lot, I found out, of singing. Second Chronicles chapter 5. We're looking in the context of Solomon building the temple and dedicating the temple to the Lord. And in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we read, "And when the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. In unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." So here we have a context of corporate gathering. We have the choir. Now, in this sense, the choir is specific priests, but yet we know that that dimension of priests has been abolished in the New Testament. And so all of us are now the priesthood of God. And so we are all now the choir. And so the people come around, the trumpeters and these singers come around, their cymbals, instruments. It's loud, and they're praising God. And when they start praising God, God fills the temple. His spirit, the glory cloud, fills the temple. And they are now singing and praising to their God. And we can see the parallel. When we come around the table, when we are together, we have the Spirit inside in us. And when we gather, we're sort of this small temple. And when we start singing and praising, God hears us. God is right there and he's listening. We are praising God. And it's very central to everything that we do. We know in 1 Corinthians 14, when we come around the table, each one is to bring a teaching, a psalm, a tongue, an interpretation. We're to come and we're to come prepared. We're to come with this idea of worship in our minds, to come before the Almighty Lord. And we are to come with praises and prayers. So part of that is to recall the things that God has done. Flip back to Exodus chapter 15, as I mentioned earlier. Part of what we sing in praise to God is recalling the very things God has done. And not just the things he has done, but who he is and how he's displayed his faithfulness and righteousness and love to us. Verse 1, then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled in the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And we'll stop there. But we come around together and we worship unitedly to speak the wonderful things that God has done for us and the wonderful nature of who God is. And so our worship is really reflecting back who God is. God shows us his glory. God shows us his righteousness and his holiness and his truth. And we again, in worship, we come before him and we tell him, we praise him and we glorify his name, and we do that together. And when we do that together, that builds us up. Because it reminds each of us, or it should, as we think about what we sing, we think about what we hear, it reminds us of who our God is. It gets us off of what we're thinking ourselves, and it gets us on to who God is. So as we sing, we are to recall the wonderful works of God. We are to recall who he is, and therefore join in with the rest of the body in praising him, in honoring him, in making a joyful noise to our God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Here's an illustration of how this singing encourages one another. Paul and Silas are imprisoned for their preaching. In verse 22 of Acts 16, and the crowd rose up together against them. The chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw him into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. There it is. They were praising God. Even in the midst of what they were going through, they were praising God. They were telling and singing loudly who God was, what he's done. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. This is what building up one another is. It's singing, encouraging one another, reminding ourselves of who our God is when we're in the midst of difficulty, when our church is in the midst of difficulty, when we as individuals are in the midst of difficulty, when we're in the midst of joy and praise. We sing loudly to who to our God. And it has effects, as we'll see. Okay. So that's quite briefly what it means to build up one another using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So it builds unity. That's what God says. And we trust him in that. And so we need to get better at that because we want to be a more, we want to be closer. We want to love one another more as our goal is to have each other over and show hospitality to one another and care for one another and build each other up so that we can go out into the world and bring others into our communion and fellowship, bring others into Christ. We can do that by getting better at singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So it does have an effect. Think about what happened after Paul and Silas were singing those songs. The prisoners were hearing them. They all stayed. After the earthquake happened and doors were opened, the Philippian jailer was about to kill himself. Paul and Silas and the rest were right there. And he believed, what must I do to be saved? Unbelievers see bodies joined together in unity and in song. And they come. Now, we don't want to have the kind of music. I mean, we don't want to say our music is, you know, a show and we don't want to bring people in for the show. But we want to have the unity and the songs and the hymns and the spiritual songs helps build up that unity. And that's why we want people to come. Because we are the body of Christ. We want them to see Christ and come in. And singing and making melody with our hearts produces joy and thankfulness. And others see that and they're drawn to it. Okay, so how can we get better at doing this? How do we grow in it? And this is not something I, you know, hopefully... This is something that's going to take time. I don't expect, there's no way tomorrow we can all be, you know, 100% the way God wants us to be with regards to this. But when we gather around the table, there are certain things that we can do better. And we should have it as our goal to pursue that. Because as we pursue that, we pursue the unity of the faith. We pursue building one another up. And we want that. But this takes time, but it takes effort. We've got to continue and press forward, just like praying. We don't become perfect prayers overnight. It takes a while. Take eternity. Okay, so the first thing, there's three things that I think that we can do better. And I think biblically I can say that these things we can grow in. The first thing is we need to learn how to sing unto the Lord. So observation here, typically when we come out there and when we gather around the table and when we start singing, do we all consider that we're coming before the Almighty God who created us and who redeemed us, and that's who we're singing to? Do we consider the moment where we gather in with one voice and we proclaim, Mighty fortress is our God, or holy, 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 that we're singing that to our God? We need to sing unto the Lord with reverence. So, God is a pretty awesome audience. He is the ultimate audience. There is no audience above him. And when we come around the table and we sing to him. We sing to one another, but our praise is directed towards him. Now, when we see Charlie and his choir singing, they're up on stage. We think about come Christmas time, you see the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, they're up all on stage. And they're standing, and they're all facing the audience, and they are, everything is neat and tidy. They all look good. They're all in unison. And they're singing to us. We're singing to God. Now, I'm not saying we need to all dress the same and we need to have nice little bow ties. That's right. But what I'm saying is we need to consider that, you know, you look at choirs like this, and I'm not saying that biblically we have to stand, but choirs, they stand up and they sing to the audience. You never see a choir sit with their legs folded in the middle of the song. They're drinking a cup of coffee. Choirs don't do that to us. Why should we do that to God? At the very least, we need to consider our audience. We're trying to build one another up, and we're singing to God. Again, this is just something that we need to rethink or refresh our mind on. Consider again. Let's go back and say, okay, when we come on Sundays, when we hear the word preached, we're hearing a message from God. When we pray, we're praying to God. When we come around the table, it's God's table, and He's feeding us. And when we sing songs, we're singing it before Him. And so as individuals, but also as a body, we need to consider that audience and how that should shape how we sing. Okay, so first thing, we need to get better at singing unto the Lord. The second thing is we need to sing with enthusiasm. All right. I read earlier Psalm 47 over and over again. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord. All right, let's make a run through some psalms here. Got to get my list. Trying to come through all this stuff when you have 150 psalms you could choose from. So turn to Psalm 33. We're going to make a run through a couple psalms. Psalm 33, verse 1. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Skillfully with a shout of joy. Now, I don't know music. The only thing I know about music is when you see a note, if it has a line, it's shorter note than if it doesn't have a line. That's about it. You could put it anywhere on the page and it's going to probably be the same note coming from my mouth. I say that my musical gift is I can listen. I don't know anything about music, but the Bible is written to us, people who know music and people who don't know music. So when it says shout joyfully to the Lord, that means that I can sing loudly and it's okay if I don't sound too good. And I don't, but it's okay. God hears me. He likes it that I'm trying. He likes it that you're trying. We saw Psalm 47. Turn to Psalm 92. I'm sorry, Psalm 95. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Shout joyfully. Again in verse 2, let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Joyfully. Not just joyfully, but shouting. We need to be enthusiastic about our singing. We don't just need to sing, a mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never fails. Exactly. That's great, isn't it? I mean, you read all these psalms and you read the dedication to the temple, and when you gather around, there's all sorts of musical instruments. There's a couple hundred singers. We're not talking about quiet worship here. We're talking loud. So we need to sing with enthusiasm. So we need to put a little oomph into it. Even if we're considering singing about, like Psalm 51, singing about our sin and our, that we have come from this sin, and we ask God prayerfully to forgive our sin, to wash us clean. But yet he says, restore me again to the joy of your salvation so that I might sing your praises. He wants to get back to that point of singing joyfully. Again, just something that I think we could work on. Consider putting your whole body into it, getting your whole heart into it. I asked Charlie last week, how do singers sing loudly? Sitting and slouched over? And it really is, again, standing up. It's getting your lungs filled. It's shouting. You're getting ready. It's a whole body thing. The whole body exercise. You read some of these psalms and you read some of the dedications and whatnot, and you almost think, man, after 20 minutes, these guys must have been dripping from just sweating so much, just from singing out loud, that loud. Shout? Seriously. Okay, so we can learn how to sing with enthusiasm more from our hearts. And then third thing, singing the scriptures. Okay, Psalm... let me stop. We need to learn how to sing the scriptures. What we sing, we need to make sure that it is something that God wants to hear. You know your spouse's favorite color, so you know what to get them. We're singing to God. We know what God likes to hear. Well, he gives us his hymn book, the Psalms, first. At the very least, we should consider singing the Psalms more, not less. My own. Thank you. So at the very least, we should be able to sing that more. The Psalms. What God has said, this is my hymn book. But even when we consider hymns, we need to consider that the hymns need to be biblically based. Which means we might have to take a hymn book home and we might have to say, this is my favorite hymn. Now, where does this come from in Scripture? And go and open up your Bibles and say, does this match? Is this right? Are all four of these stanzas okay to sing? Or am I singing heresy first? Or am I singing nothing that's even contained in the scripture? Am I singing a song that I could sing to my wife? And we don't want to do that around the table. There are certain songs that can be sung in praise outside of the church, but when we're inside of worship, we need to sing scripturally based songs, which means we may have to spend a few more hours during the week, or a few more minutes during the week to say, these are the hymns. Okay, this is biblical. This is not biblical. I need to mark this off in my hymnal or whatever. I need to not request this anymore. It's going to take some time and it's going to take some effort on your part. Your own personal hymnal. Or you could do it the easy way and just pick a psalm. What's easier, right? The stuff that's already written for you or not? I mean, I wish that our hymn book had scripture references for each song. These are the scriptures that this song is based off of. That would be great. It'd be wonderful. It'd take a whole lot of work out of ours, of our time. But we at least need to refocus our minds so that when we come around the table, we need to consider what we sing has importance to it. We're singing to God. Therefore, we need to make sure we're singing what God wants to hear. And we're not just singing to God, we're singing to one another. So we need to make sure as we build up one another, we're doing so biblically. And I'm not leading my brother or sister astray. So hymns, songs, spiritual songs, whichever book you want to use, white book, blue book, red book, let's make sure that it's biblical. Let's make sure that we're singing scripture, at the very least, scripture and scripture derived. I could probably say more on that, but I'll just stop. Okay. Getting uncomfortable. So all of this, as we grow and mature in our worship through song, as we get more enthusiasm, as we sing louder, as we sing with our whole heart and body, as we sing unto the Lord and we consider what it takes, as we go and figure out the hymns that are good and the hymns that we probably shouldn't sing, the hymns that will build up and the hymns that won't build up, the hymns that praise God and the hymns that don't. All of that might get us uncomfortable. We might not like to sing loud. And I'm not saying you have to, you know, shout at the top of your lungs, but I mean, I know sometimes I'll do it. You know, you're just kind of going along with it. And it's kind of quiet. You may not know the hymn too well. Right. Charlie used to do that with youth group. He'd come around. Hear you? I'm doing that with my kids. To get them to sing louder. But we need to get uncomfortable. We need to get over the fact that our neighbor might hear me sing. That's okay. He may laugh at me at first, but he'll get used to it after a few weeks, right? And, you know, we listen to him too, so we're all doing this together. We're all making one big collective joyful noise to the Lord. And that's what we need to think about. We're doing this together. Therefore, we need to make this noise, this singing, good. And so if we had time, we could go through some of the Psalms. I mean, it's, and again, I'm not saying we need to start, you know, jumping over chairs or everything, but there's standing, there's clapping, there's shouting loudly, there's dancing. I mean, there's all sorts of singing, and I'm not saying we need to start having a circus out there, but some of these things maybe we should be okay with. If somebody wanted to stand up, okay. We all want to stand up. That's okay. You know, we need to get a little bit more uncomfortable and let the inhibitions that typically drive us. That's just the way we've always done it. Well, maybe we can get better at it. And I'm an offender. I don't want people looking at me. Really don't want people looking at me. Really want people listening to me. But so, just going through, thinking about the biblical way to sing and the biblical way to do music. Some of these things might get us a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. The Lord's going to mature us and work us through some of those things. And it's okay for, you know, some people to say, all right, let's stand up. Let's stand up and sing this song. Let's not get grumpy about it. Let's not say, you know, this is I'm the offender of this. I used to think, those people don't have kids, do they? You got to get the kids up out of your lap or, you know, stand them up. And I used to just, standing up again. But now, you know, it's okay. That's how you sing louder. You got to stand up, sing louder. I'm not saying we have to stand up every time, but something to consider. What we can do to sing with our whole heart unto the Lord enthusiastically and biblically based. We may have to get a little uncomfortable. Okay, and then the results that all of this drives. And it goes back to unity. It goes back to building up one another through song. Teaching one another. You know, a good illustration of that, do we all know the 150 Psalms?
No.
But if we started singing the Psalms, well, you'd sure start learning them. It's teaching you the Psalms. You know, we're going through with Awana, with the truth and training, we're going through, we're singing some children's songs. We're going through the apostles and we're going through the patriarchs. And now those guys and girls, they know all 12 patriarchs. That's teaching through song, building them up. As they grow older, they'll know what is a patriarch, father of a nation, what the song says. Next week. But so it teaches us. It helps build up the body through knowledge and understanding, through wisdom, It helps us. It encourages us as we go out and we are dispersed as a community and we live out there, and then we come back again and we get fed with more just scripture at the table. We get fed with the songs. You know, back before the printing press, a lot of the scripture that people had was through song. They knew the Psalms not because they had words in front of them, but because they sung it. The Psalms of Ascent were psalms that Israel sang as they went up to worship. They knew them. They sang them. That's all that they could do. So it builds us up as we sing these songs. Don't just sing them on Sundays. Take them back to your house. You know, again, get a little uncomfortable. We sing to our kids before bed every night. And before I had kids, I never sang at home. I don't like singing out loud. I sound horrible. But after a while, you know, I want them to learn some stuff. So I started singing. No, I don't care. You know, I'll sing loudly. It's fine because I started getting used to it. So if we take songs and we take them home, we build up our families with it. We build up our children with it. And we come back to and we build up ourselves with it, and we come back to worship, and we build up one another with it. So we didn't, there's so much to go through, but through both of the passages in Ephesians and Colossians, it talks about joy. You know, it talks about giving thanks, and it talks about doing so with a heart, to the Lord. And that's a joyful heart. When we sing, we do so out of joy. And we may not always feel joyful, but we can sing to get joyful. And that helps build up the body too. We all like being around joyful people. We all want to be joyful because people are attracted to joy. Unbelievers are attracted to joy. We want to grow in that, and we want to grow in thankful hearts. When we are thankful in our hearts, that comes out in singing. It comes out in giving thanks to God for what he's done and who he is. And when we start thanking God and through these songs and we start learning more and more, well, what that does is that takes all of the focus off of ourselves and it puts it on to God. It takes it off of that little annoyance that your brother or sister has, and puts it onto God. We come around the table, we don't think about, oh, I wish he wouldn't have done that yesterday. We're giving thanks to God. Thankfulness is coming with humility and independence to the one whom you're thanking. You thank God for what he has done. It gets you off of yourself. It gets you off of your neighbors. And it gets you onto God. So we come with thankful hearts. And as we get better at worship, we become more united. Because we're building up one another. We're building up one another. And just as, you know, Paul and Silas were singing, they were encouraging one another. They were encouraging the other prisoners that they were with. Singing of the power and might of who God is and what he's done in the past. It also has the effect of drawing others in because of the joyful hearts, because of the unity of the brethren, because of the thankfulness that's there. So I think just as we look through this, I think we can grow here. I think there's a lot of room for maturity. I don't think this is something that we can get better on. You know, just we are where we want to be on Sunday. And, you know, we're all, you know, in marching array, singing songs, you know, to and from the table. I don't think it's going to be an overnight thing, but it's something that, especially as men, as we consider and request songs on Sunday, we need to think about it. Make sure it's scriptural. And when we all sing, we need to do so unto the Lord. Enthusiastically. Not just loud, but with your heart. Consider what you're singing. And sing it joyfully. All right. What else? There's so much to go through. I don't know if I... Let's see. Well, are there any questions?
Did you tell us, hey,
This is what? Oh, an order. Well, this I don't want to say this isn't. I don't want to say this is an order, and these are all the things we have to do.
Because a lot of time, people, they be easy.
Right. Right.
When you say, like, it's supposed to be like the way I tell all of you. When you present the God,
right. So some of these are things that we need to do in order. Some of these are things that, biblically, you see, and that can help shape us as a more unified body, as a body that can glorify God better on Sundays. And so we need to mature in those areas and think about as a body those things that we can do. But a lot of it is we need to consider that when we sing, we're singing to the Lord. Therefore, how can you do that with your whole heart? That part is... Yep. Right. Yep. Yes, sir. I really do. I think biblically, you see songs are sung and you just don't envision the congregation sitting with their legs folded. So I think you can say that. Yes. I think more, but I think it's harder to say, you know, in Second Chronicles, thus saith the Lord, all shall stand when you sing. It's not an order, but more practically, I think to really get your voice into it, you stand. I mean, I talked to Charlie last week. I'm like, how do you really sing loud? You know, how can you sing loud? What's the best way? Like singers, when they're taught how to sing, how are they taught to sing? And they're not taught to sing sitting. They're not taught to sing slouched over. You know, they're taught to sing standing up and, I don't know, with your shoulders up. And maybe we can, you know, maybe we can grow in that and learn as a congregation how to be a, you know, it's a little bit more of a choir. So I don't, it's not a prescription. We have to stand, but I don't think it's a bad idea. And I think there's a lot to there. I wouldn't want to say that's what we need to do. That's the elder. Any other questions? Comments or feedback? Well, let's bow in prayer, and then I want us to sing a song in the songbook. So let's pray. Father Almighty, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you are the powerful one who has brought us from the domain of darkness, and you've brought us into the dominion of light and grace and truth. And we thank you that you've given us the Spirit so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that you would help us to do that. We pray that you would help us to have minds that consider, as we sing, we're singing unto you. And we pray that our whole heart and our whole body, everything that is us, will worship you. And we pray that you would help us as a congregation, that you would help us as families, and that you would help us as individuals to grow with respect to how we worship you when we're together and as we worship you when we're apart. And we pray that through all of that, through learning how to sing your hymns and your spiritual songs, and as we grow in singing the Psalms, Father, I pray that you would help us to build one another up. Of Christ dwelling in us, that we might grow in thankfulness and enjoy singing and making melody in our heart to you. And I pray that others would see that, see our unity, and see you through us, and that they would come, just as the Philippian jailer did. So help us, Lord. We know a lot of these things are different than the way we typically think about, the way we typically sing, but help us to have a heart Help us to have a mind, and help us to have our whole body and self devoted to you. We pray all this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.